Our scripture lesson this morning is from Luke 23, verses 44 through 49. We conclude this morning a Lord's Supper series of reflections on the words that Jesus spoke from the cross, those seven words. We've considered his prayer for forgiveness for those who persecuted him. We heard those wonderful words of comfort to the penitent thief: today you will be with me in paradise. We heard the Lord Jesus creating a new family under the cross, modeled through the gift of his mother and his friend John to one another. We heard these amazing words of anguish from Jesus: my God, why have you forsaken me? Believing that he spoke those words to assure us that we will never be forsaken by him who trusts him. We heard Jesus pray, fifth, I thirst, to say that rather to those around him, to show how he has endured thirst so that we might be satisfied. And then last time we heard Jesus speak these words, it is finished, fulfilling scripture, accomplishing all the work of salvation for us. And this morning, we hear these words, these last words of Jesus from the cross: Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So listen as we hear God's word from Luke 23, 44 through 49. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowd that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Amen. Herbert Richardson was about to be electrocuted by the state of Alabama. Most people, he told his attorney, don't get to sit and think all day about it being their last day alive. What if, like Herbert, you knew the exact minute of your death? Herbert knew that his would be August 18, 1989 at midnight, and it was. As the moment drew near, how would you prepare? Of course, most of us don't have this exact experience. We don't know the moment or the day of our death typically. But all of us, Moses tells us in Psalm 90, should number our days. That is, we should contemplate our mortality. We should prepare for that day, though it is unknown to us. The hourglass of our lives has been flipped, and we should reflect upon that. Though he was innocent, Jesus knew the hour of his execution and the moment of his death. Just before he drew his last breath, he said something that can help us live and die well. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Luke 23, verse 46. What is Jesus doing by speaking these last words to us? Let's reflect on that this morning in three ways. First of all, noting how Jesus, in speaking these words, is again fulfilling Scripture. Jesus speaks these words to fulfill Scripture. The words, as we heard a moment ago, come from Psalm 31, verse 5. Psalm 31, we sang the entirety of it a moment ago, and so perhaps we recall that Psalm 31 is written by a man who is in trouble, a man whose only hope is God. David is caught in a net, as it were, he says in verse 4. Can you just imagine that, being caught in a net like a wild beast, trapped with no way out, feeling constricted? Like Jesus, David could say in verses 8 and 9 of Psalm 31, my eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also, my life is spent with sorrows and my years with sighing. Both men, David and Jesus, heard, as verse 13 says, the whisperings of many as enemies schemed and plotted murder. If we could just pause and reflect on the wondrous love of our Savior for enduring this for us, for experiencing what David could only partially experience and imagine in Psalm 31, being totally wasted from grief, spent with sorrow. So Psalm 31 is a psalm written by a man in trouble. But it's also a song of trust and devotion. Listen to the writer in verses 14 and 15. I trust in you, O Lord, says the man trapped in a net. You are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. So he's trapped, had fallen into the hands of wicked people, but he says, my times are in your hands, O God. And so he can say then in verse 5, into your hand I commit my spirit. David speaking these words first, Jesus taking them on as his last words from the cross. David does pray them differently, though, doesn't he? David prays these words in the hope that God would deliver him from death. Jesus prays these words knowing that his Father would deliver him through death. Jesus isn't imagining a way off the cross other than through the grave and the resurrection of the body. Jesus had been telling his disciples, we're going to Jerusalem that the Son of Man may die and be resurrected. So Jesus is hoping, trusting that he will be raised from the dead. On the cross, Jesus was like that besieged city that David writes about in Psalm 31, verse 21. A besieged city whose walls were crumbling. Of course, Jesus helps us to think about his own body in the picture of the temple, whose walls would be crumbled and collapsed, but then would come back together, he said, in the resurrection. And yet, as he's like that besieged city with crumbling walls, he trusted in God's steadfast love. So Psalm 31, verse 5, provides the backdrop for Jesus' final words from the cross. He's fulfilling the word of God. And so we now, as we read the Psalms, as we sing the Psalms, we can do so as believers in harmony with the Lord Jesus, who knows our afflictions, who could say the same things that David said about his hardships and his trials, but he could say them most perfectly as the one who would endure them to the fullest extent for us. He's fulfilling Scripture when he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But there's a second thing that Jesus is doing in speaking these words from the cross, and that is he is revealing God to us. He does so in at least two ways. He shows us that God helps all who call on him. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's calling upon the Lord, encouraging us to believe that the Father can help us too in our darkest moments. There's a strong theme in Psalm 31, the entirety of the psalm. David calls God a refuge. In verse 1, verse 4, verse 2. He calls God a fortress, verse 2 and verse 3. David recognized that God was this strong tower into which the righteous run to be saved. And Jesus, too, in his most vulnerable moment, can trust God to receive his spirit through death. Of course, death is our most vulnerable moment, isn't it? We step into something that we can't even pretend to be controlling. We're vulnerable. And yet we can entrust that the Lord will see us through. Jesus used the image of God's hands to symbolize the refuge he sought from his Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. We know that's Jesus didn't mean that in a literal way. God is a spirit, doesn't have a body like people. He doesn't have hands in the same sense that you and I have. But Jesus knows that that image not only resonated with his own heart, but would resonate with ours as well. The Psalms actually say quite a few things about the hands of God. And Jesus was surely reflecting on some of these things as he commits himself to the hands of God. That the hands of God are strong enough to create the world. Psalm 8, Psalm 95, Psalm 102. The hands of God are good enough to accomplish justice for the oppressed. Psalm 10, Psalm 111. And the hands of God are kind enough to take away our heaviest burdens. Psalm 81, verse 6. So Jesus, knowing the Psalms and how they speak about the hands of God and all that that symbolizes, in his final prayer says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. By appearances, Jesus had fallen into wicked hands. And we know how those hands had done horrible things against Jesus. But stronger, kinder, holier hands held him up. And he knew that. And he's able to pray in his final prayer, into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. If Jesus could trust the Father in his darkest moment, we can trust him too. And so one of the things Jesus is doing here is he's showing us that God helps all who seek him. His hands will hold us up as well. And so we're to be encouraged through this revelation of God to entrust ourselves to him. There's a second way that Jesus is revealing God here, and that is that as God, Jesus is teaching that God is Lord even over death. In other words, we know that Jesus himself is God, the Son of God, of the same substance as the Father and the Spirit. And as God, we can see that Jesus on the cross is in full command of death. He's commanding his destiny, even on the cross, isn't he? How else could he cry out, as the Bible tells us in Matthew 27 and Mark 15, cry out in a loud voice his last words and then die? How does one do that unless that one is in control of his life and his death? He doesn't expire. He doesn't fade out. He cries aloud his last words and then he dies. You see, the Savior of the world had to be a willing victim killed in the place of traitors. Abraham Kuyper used creative grammar to show that in his departure, he's no longer passive. In dying, he dies himself. I don't know if that works grammatically, but Kuyper is saying he dies himself. He's in full control of his life and his death. Death didn't take him. As the champion of his people, Jesus deliberately battled death. He deliberately entered death. Jesus said this in his ministry, didn't he? For example, in John chapter 10, he says, I lay down my life for my sheep. He says in John 10, verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. See, Jesus is revealing God in his own actions as God, being in total control of death. He's not a passive victim. He isn't having his life taken from him. He is laying it down. He speaks his last words with authority, with a loud voice, and then enters into the care of his Father through death. Jesus is the King. Remember, Pilate put that placard, speaking really as a prophet, knowing not really what he said, but this is the King of the Jews. He's the King. He's in control, complete control, even of the last enemy, death. And so just at the right moment, he entrusts himself into the strong, just, gentle hands of his Father. He's revealing God to us. And this is just the message that we, who are as frail as dust, need to hear. And so I want to consider a third thing that Jesus does in speaking these last words is he is teaching us how to die. Of course, he's teaching us how to live as well, that our whole lives would be entrusted into the care of God, not finding our lives in ourselves, in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own plans or purposes. But to die well also. We don't know the moment of our death, but we can say, we must say, if we're wise, we're dying, right? I'm dying, as Jacob the patriarch said to his sons. He was very blunt. I am about to die, he says. And couldn't we all say that? I'm about to die. We don't know the moment or the day, but we're about to die. And of course, death can be frightening. But united to Jesus by true faith, we can say with him at that last moment and every time in between, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Our whole lives can be a committing of our spirits into the hands of God so that when our time comes, when that moment draws near, when we're truly about to die, we won't be terrified. We won't wonder what's going to happen to us, because we will have been committing ourselves to God's care all along. Jesus is teaching us how to die well. And we know that this is what Jesus is doing in part because of how his disciples almost immediately after began using these last words from the cross. The deacon, Stephen, remember Deacon Stephen gives a long sermon in which he exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that it would infuriate those who were opposed to Jesus. And it does. And at the end of his speech, they plug their ears and they charge after him and they crush him with stones until he died. But he used Jesus' words at his own execution. As they were stoning Stephen, the Bible says, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Acts 7:59. In his greatest need, as his life was leaving his body, he firmly believed God's promise that Paul puts this way in Romans 14:8. For if we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. That's what Stephen was able to do, knowing that he was dying, of course. And we're able to do the same thing. And friends, what's the alternative? Without the hope of being with the Lord, what can you say as you leave this life? Those who believe in no afterlife strangely hope that their death will actually be their annihilation. It's a strange hope to entertain at the end of one's life. Well, I hope and trust this is it. Of course, in reality, at death, those who waste their life in disbelief lose their soul, Jesus says in Mark 8:36. And that's why many people fear death. No matter how secular they may claim to be, they have this nagging sense that maybe there is more to, probably there is more to life than what I've experienced in these short years. Hebrews 2 verse 15 teaches that fear of death enslaves mortals. But when Jesus died, he conquered death. He does so as a king. He does so as a military commander, putting it in its place. And he releases from bondage those whom the fear of death had tyrannized, those who would believe in him. So what Jesus is teaching us in terms of how we might live well and die well is that not even death can loosen God's loving hold on his children. Jesus is saying, believe that. Commit yourself to that truth right now so that when dark times come, like those described in Psalm 31, when the darkest moment comes, when you're approaching your death, you'll be able to say with Jesus, genuinely with Jesus, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Apparently, in later Judaism, Psalm 31, from which Jesus' last words come, became used as a bedtime prayer. And we should perhaps take note of how we can use it like that as well. If you trust in Jesus, you can close your eyes and commit yourself to God, believing that when you wake up, you will be in his care. Whether you wake up in this life, 8 hours later, or 5 hours later, or whatever it is, or wake up in the presence, the blazing presence of God. Learn to pray with Jesus then. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and rest assured. Let's come to God in prayer now. We worship you, Lord Jesus, for your willing sacrifice. We thank you that you were truly not dragged to the cross, but went there willingly, having determined to do the will of the triune God. And we thank you for speaking these words to us from the cross as a glorious pulpit, raised up above the heads of others to be seen and heard. And having these words printed in Scripture so that we may hear them as well. We thank you for the confidence, Lord Jesus, to which you've entered death. And we would have that same confidence, too, if we trust ourselves to you, that we would be crucified with Christ, raised with him in a glorious present relationship, but also looking forward to the physical resurrection of the body. And so, Lord, we do entrust ourselves, our spirits, our bodies into your care. And we pray that you would receive us at the moment of our death into your blessed company. For Jesus' sake, we pray it. Amen.